The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station. Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Hello there, you're very welcome along to Tuesday's Off the Ball. We've got Tom Parsons with us on this evening's show, the Mayo midfielder. A very testing 18 months in his life, coming back successfully from career-threatening injury, so he's going to join us around 7:30 or so. Paul Rouse, UCD Professor of History, will be along after 8 o'clock. Paul, effectively, is going to take us through a semester of the history of sport, especially in Ireland, this part of the world. Week one of school starts this evening after 8 o'clock, so tune in for that. And then there's an excellent football show as well. Simon Cooper, brilliant journalist based in Paris. He will talk to us about Johan Cruyff, an obsession of his. Cruyff passed away 4 years ago today at the age of 68. So Cooper will take us through some of the lesser known aspects of Cruyff and his personality. I know we're all pretty aware of the broad strokes at this stage. And then Paddy Agnew in Rome will join us as well. Italy very much remains at the epicentre of this virus. There was on Sunday, you may have seen, news of a decline in the deaths, and we were all willing that to be good news and a sense that Italy was beyond the worst part of the curve. But sadly, a false dawn of sorts. The figures rose again today, but we'll talk to Paddy about the general situation. The Atalanta-Valencia game on February 19th has now been pinpointed as a really decisive moment in when this thing started to spread around Italy. Unfortunately, the legacy of that game won't be remembered too fondly. That's on the way between 9 and 10. In the meantime, 53106 is the text number. You can get us at Off the Ball as well. Richie McCormack joins us. Hello.
How are you, Joe?
Very well. How are you?
Feeling it today, if I'm being honest. Feeling it today. It's one of those days when you're kind of like, all right, this is how it is for the next while, isn't it? It kind of goes in waves, I guess, without wanting to get too heavy on people too soon. But yeah.
There will be those days, I think.
Yeah.
Nathan Murphy, also with us. Hello.
Good evening. How's it going?
How are you doing?
I'm all right. Not having one of those days, thankfully. But your fielder just around the corner.
There's a fairly good chance one of the three of us will be having one of those days on any given day. So that is perfectly acceptable. So a busy show on the way. We're going to have Tom Parsons with us. He is maybe a man worth listening to because 18, 19 months ago, back in May of 2018, his career effectively looked over. There was that dreadful injury. I personally didn't think he was going to come back. I suspect he had lots of time around the house with not much to do and rehabbing and all that kind of stuff. So maybe there's a slight parallel with where we are now. And then he made his way back all the way to playing in an All-Ireland semi-final, admittedly on a tough day against Dublin. That second half in particular didn't go to plan, but he made his way back nonetheless. So we'll talk to him between 7:30 and 8 o'clock, then Paul Rouse, then a busy football show. Parsons, Nathan, was on the receiving end of just incredible love and affection and support in Mayo. I'm sure you remember the day he turned up in crutches to a game and got a standing ovation.
Yeah, that entire summer, I think every time he rocked up at a ground as Mayo went through the qualifiers, people just rose to their feet. And I think like the entire country at the time, anybody who unfortunately saw the footage, like this was the GAA's version at the time, you felt, of that David Bust injury from all those years ago for Coventry. Thankfully, modern science has moved on and it's not that career-ending injury. And for him to come back and in the space of 18 months been playing, all right, albeit just at the end of an All-Ireland semi-final when unfortunately the game was probably done and dusted for Mayo, it's a mark of his character. And yeah, I remember your interview with him very shortly after he picked up the injury as he went through exactly what happened and Aidan O'Shea coming over to him and sort of dawning on him very quickly just how serious this was going to be. And I remember talking to people at the time, doctors who looked at it and looked at the footage and said, this guy has no hope in hell of playing ever again.
Yeah.
So you can only imagine, and I'm sure you're going to find out, like the hours and hours of sacrifice, not knowing what the end is going to be. Like we talk all the time about GAA players sacrificed through the winter months, and we hear about professional players, all those long, long hours in the gym trying to get yourself right. But probably going through a good chunk of that, not knowing for months as to whether actually you would get out in the pitch at the end of it all.
I tell you what, though, the symbolism of that, now you're talking about him coming on towards the end of a game that was already gone, regardless of whether it's a semi-final or not, like the symbolism of him coming back, and I'm sure it wasn't a tokenistic gesture by Horan, the symbolism for him of getting back to that level that soon for him has got to be huge. Like the mental aspect of that has got to give him a big, big boost heading forward and into the rest of his career, which, you know, given his age profile, there aren't that many years left, so it's got to be a massive kick up the arse for him.
A dislocated knee, three ruptured knee ligaments, one torn knee ligament, a torn calf and a torn hamstring, and that was at the age of 30. Best of luck. So, I mean, even getting back to play club football for Charlestown would have been a big achievement. So to get back inter-county level All-Ireland semi-final is quite extraordinary. I thought he was goosed. I'll say it to him later on. I mean, I came off the phone that evening. I thought, this. I admire this lad's belief that he will get back, but I just thought that'll be a bridge too far, and he proved lots of us wrong, thankfully.
Yeah, I think everyone did. The severity, you go through it there. Any one of those is a serious injury, never mind three, four separate injuries all on top of each other. Mm. And you say his age profile as well, and you thought, yeah, maybe this is a lot of physio, 3 or 4 years, he gets back. Firstly, he'll be able to walk all right, and he'll be able to do the things you want to do and have a little bit of a jog and maybe get back playing a bit of club. But to get back to the level you need to get back,
yeah,
to play inter-county football is sensational. And yeah, I think probably a good person because we to have on tonight. You know, as Richie says, everyone's having down days. Mm. And particularly you feel every time that there's a big government speech, and even though we know a form of a lockdown, even though they're not calling it that, is coming, when you're sitting there and you're watching it, there's that realization all over again of, oh, this is going to be a long, daunting stretch of time.
Yes, very long. Working from home is not all it's cracked up to be. I mean, we touched on this last night. I just want to emphasize that again. It really isn't. I knew, this is what's scuppering me, in that I'm trying to exercise at least once today. I'm never in the mood to go for a run early on in the morning or to get out. So I'm not showering for, you know, too many hours of the day, and you're just kind of in a funk. So I'm either going to have to get up and shower straight away and then get out for exercise, or I'm just going to have to shower twice. These are all the dilemmas.
You're just taking advantage of being in the studio alone, Joe. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other benefit is that if you go out early, there's not many people around.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to go out around 8 a.m. and there's littler, because the parks aren't open, you might just end up running around the housing estates and it's pretty much dead.
Right.
Whereas if you go out around 9:30, 10 o'clock, everybody sort of has the same idea. Let's get to the park. Let's go on the same route. So get yourself up good and early, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I hear you.
Now, granted, by eight o'clock, I'm already awake for 2 hours is the problem.
Yeah, I most certainly am not, is the point. But anyway, I'm sure that is the least of my worries, ultimately. Now, let's start with the news round. Richie, the Olympics, I think this is to be applauded. I've just made the decision and not dragged this out for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, we were told 4 weeks. In the end, it took about 48 hours. And for the first time ever, the Olympic Games have been postponed. The coronavirus pandemic has led to the 32nd Summer Olympiad being postponed until no later, they say, until the summer of 2021. A joint statement from the IOC and Tokyo 2020 organisers said they were making the decision to safeguard athletes' health. The Olympic Federation of Ireland and Paralympics Ireland have both welcomed the decision. The Olympic Games were cancelled, as we know, during the two world wars, but this postponement is a first. World Athletics say they'd be open to moving next year's World Championships in Eugene to 2022 if required. Their president, Seb Coe, believes space can be found in the sporting calendar for a rearranged Olympic Games.
Yes, it can be. And that's going to pose all sorts of challenges because, as you know, as well as anyone, the sporting calendar is a complex matrix. It's not that easy just to simply say, well, OK, we can't do it this year, so let's move it to next year or the year after. We have our World Athletics Championships in the United States next year. So already we've been in discussion with the organizing committee in Oregon. About shifting the date and maybe even discussing moving it to 2022 to accommodate the need for an Olympic Games next year. So, look, we all have to be flexible. We're living in, you know, very uncertain times, and this is going to take a lot of thinking about, but the decision today is absolutely the right decision.
Now, Richie, there was, as we all know, a government press conference this afternoon that has put paid to any hopes for Irish racing or even the local golfer in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Today's meeting at Clonmel will be the last to take place in Ireland until April the 19th at the earliest. The government's confirmed that all sporting events still taking place behind closed doors must also be suspended from midnight tonight. Among the suspensions is the Irish Grand National meeting at Ferry House on Easter Monday, April the 13th. Meanwhile, as you mentioned there, Joe, the Golfing Union of Ireland and the Irish Ladies Golfing Union have both called on all of their affiliated facilities to close in light of the new measures. And the FAI say all other football under their jurisdiction will remain on lockdown until April 19th at the earliest, following the latest government guidance.
this was all a bit inevitable, Nathan. I mean, golf and racing in particular behind closed doors, they were on thin, thin ice as well, you know, already.
Yeah, I think all professional sport was always going to go. Golf, I know a lot of people have been out golfing and feel that you can do the social distancing quite easy, and particularly actually for maybe older couples who could just go out together, who obviously don't need to social distance in the way groups of men or women getting together have to. It was a very good outlet for them over the last sort of 10 days where most people were stuck inside. You get out and you get your 3 or 4 hours. But I think as much as anything else, it is the optics of, well, if you can do this, why can't you do this? And just trying to get into people's heads that actually, unfortunately, we're going to be able to do very, very little. Mm. I was just thinking, listening to Seb Coe there, that 2022 in Qatar, and the very fact that that's a Christmas World Cup, may benefit the sporting calendar over the next couple of years. Because I'd imagine the issue for the Olympics is there are so many various sports. And he talks about the World Athletics Championships in Oregon. Like, the World Athletics Championships are the big money spinner of the year for athletics. That suddenly having a free summer in 2022 without a major football tournament means there is probably a bit more space there to spread these tournaments in there again.
Yes. Well, I certainly wish the Nike World Championships in Eugene all the best. I mean, I'm thrilled for them. Thrilled for them.
I was just... Somebody tweeted us today when I put out the news saying, like, is there not question marks to be asked about Eugene there? I'm like, yeah, I'd imagine Seb Coe is delighted to kick the Eugene ball even further down the road in the Olympics news today.
Meanwhile, Rich, European rugby chiefs have been talking.
Yeah, European rugby chiefs say they remain committed to finishing this season's Heineken Champions Cup and the Challenge Cup. They postponed May's final in Marseille, as well as the semi-finals that would have been played on the first weekend in May. Sticking with rugby, and the IRFU are to make €500,000 available to clubs during the COVID-19 pandemic. The domestic season was brought to a premature end last week as a result of the crisis. They say they'll be advising clubs on how the fund is to be applied for as soon as is practicable. The IRFU say they will also place a moratorium on all club loan repayments for 4 months, beginning from the 1st of April.
Yeah, I mean, they're following a similar vein to the Premier League in that they will finish the season. And you would think that Heineken Champions Cup, and I suppose Challenge Cup as well, that is doable. You're talking about 3 weekends. Now, the rugby schedule is incredibly condensed, as is, but this is a cup competition. It's not like they have to finish out 10, 12 weekends, which would be totally undoable. And you'll get, you know, you get decent sized audiences for these games as well, so they'll generate a bit of income. So I think there's a half decent chance when we're through the worst of this that there will still be an appetite to watch, in particular, Leinster Saracens in a quarter final, Nathan.
Yeah, I think with the way the rugby calendar is shaping up as well, it's impossible to see how the summer tours are going to take place. So there will be a little bit more space. So whether that is a natural end to a season, a quarterfinal, semi-final, final, three-week stretch, it all comes down to money. So the Six Nations is the priority because that's the big money spinner. But then it feeds down. You'd imagine the Champions Cup is probably second on the list. It does show the way the IRFU have been able to handle this over the last week, the sort of unique position that they have in this country in terms of the control they have of their sport. Yeah. So they were able to talk to the players' union and the staff, and there was a range of pay deferrals that they hope, I presume, on the basis that the Six Nations does take place. So between 30 and 50%, so they can do that. And then actually they can show the benefit of it and say, you know what, we're going to go after the grassroots here. There's 500,000 there, where the FAI unfortunately aren't in that position because, well, they don't control the players. Mm. For starters, the GA is a totally different scenario. So it does feel as though the IRFU from the outside have gone about this in the right manner.
Mm. Yeah, agree. A few texts and tweets in. Hi, lads. Can you start doing fishing segments on the show? A 10-minute slot. People asking me, can we fish? Jim in Dunboyne wants a 10-minute slot. Ones that got away. He says it would be riveting and then says, seriously.
The thing about it is, was that what was it? A little trend towards what they called slow TV a couple of years ago. So BBC Four would show like lengthened train journeys just from start to finish, and people would be like working in wood shops from start to finish. That kind of content show is going to make a roaring comeback, I feel, over the next while. Anything that takes up a number of hours and has, you know, I guess minimal input from the person on camera is going to be top-notch viewing for the next while.
Maybe you should start a fishing segment, said somebody else. That's a sport too. Can you still fish?
Right.
What is the story? I was in pre-records this afternoon, so I didn't get to watch the full 4 o'clock press conference live.
I didn't see any regulations regarding
fishing.
Came
up.
Yeah, it's not something that ordinarily would come up, I don't think.
No, but parks are closed, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. And are you allowed to drive to a local river where nobody is within 100 metres and stand on the bank and fish? Let's not give out that advice. Let's not give out that advice. I mean, I don't know.
If you go by yourself, I think you're probably okay. But hey, don't quote me on this. Guards will be monitoring. Just talking of rugby, Joe.
Yes.
I don't know if you were aware of this, but tomorrow we're handing over the reins of Off the Ball tomorrow afternoon. The first ever OTB Kids Takeover is taking place.
Yes.
With none other than Brian O'Driscoll. So we've been inviting the children of Ireland to send in their questions. My own child is currently trying to burst into the room. I'm not sure if she has any questions for Brian O'Driscoll. But if there's people listening in, you still have time. We're going to give you till 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. All you got to do is WhatsApp the questions to 087-9180-180. That is 087-9180-180. Just video your kids. They can ask Brian O'Driscoll anything. You know, you spend a lot of time, Joe, with Brian O'Driscoll. You're asking them, you know, the rugby questions. I'm sure there's stuff that the kids can really get to the heart of Brian O'Driscoll in a way that we never could.
It's a perfect opportunity to get your kid to ask things that we're not brave enough to ask him.
Mm,
I mean, exactly. I think the more vicious, incriminating and embarrassing, the better, really. That's what we're looking for here because, you know, it's a kid asking
absolutely.
You. Yes. So, lads, in your addition to your chat last night with Pat Nevin about centre-half pairings, the best once-off centre-half pairing performance was Babb and McGrath in Giants Stadium. Brilliant, yes. Well, this is... That is the one, isn't it, when poor old Paul McGrath's shoulder was effectively, it looked paralysed. I mean, he was carrying some kind of injury and there's a period where George Hamilton just says, McGrath again. What a game he's having. They were simpler and more magical times. Owen Murphy gets in touch on Twitter. I practice golf. Not the Owen Murphy. Well, I hope not, because it seems like Owen is going to do his own thing regardless. I practice golf my own, and I will continue to play, he says.
Oof.
Golf courses have only been given a recommendation to close. Some clubs may choose not to. And if I'm practicing social distancing and I've paid my membership, I shouldn't have to stop playing. Owen, you will do what you're bloody well told, and I hope your golf course closes.
Does this mean Porrick's tips are going to stop?
Porrick's tips will continue. That is his back garden. That is his back garden.
I know, but like with they're unusable at the minute.
The tips,
yeah, how are you going to use them? Well, the golf courses aren't open.
The magical thing about golf tips is he tells you something and you in your head practice it or in your back garden practice it, and then you think, oh my god, that's it, that's the secret I've been waiting for. And actually, in real life, the crushing disappointment arrives when you go out and try and put that tip into practice in real life. So now you get to live in this sense of, I found the secret through Padraig Harrington, and there'll be no actual golf ball to make you realise you haven't.
And
it
also,
brings to mind a question.
Harrington.
Go on. Yeah.
So
true.
David Ledbetter is doing lessons. There's any amount of people doing lessons out there at the moment, but it's Harrington. You'd watch Harrington do anything for 5 minutes.
It begs the question, Joe. Fionn Davenport asked me on Twitter last week when he was talking about golf and Golf Weekly. When was the last time you practiced your swing in a mirrored shop window or in any kind of shop window?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
The last time I walked by one.
Well,
I mean, that's just how it works. That's just how it works.
Nathan?
Oof. Walking past the shop window?
Yeah, if you're like walking past stuff when you're like, oh, that's a fairly mirrored surface, I'm going to practice my swing.
If you're waiting at traffic lights.
If you're like waiting around and thinking about buying some clothes, absolutely.
Yeah. You're obliged to check your position at the top of the swing. That's just the way it works. I feel I was a bit harsh on Owen Murphy saying, well, you know, yeah, I don't hope his golf group closes. But I mean, if you're not allowed to play golf for a couple of months, Owen, then that's just the deal. That's the
but
point
the,
I was
the
trying
GUI
to make.
But the GUI have instructed all the clubs to close.
Ah, well then. But then I retract feeling harsh then in that case. If that's the recommendation, then he can't go off playing golf on his own as much as he might want to. Where are we going next, Richie?
We'll go to Oriel Park because Dundalk have become the latest club to guarantee the wages of their staff during the COVID-19 crisis. Dublin rivals Bohemians and Shelburne have already committed to honouring contracts and the SSE or Tristy League season hopes to resume on June the 19th. This year's Little Ladies Football National League has been cancelled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. They won't pick up where they left off in Divisions 1 to 3. They had played 5 rounds of games. The LGFA say the TG Carr All-Ireland Championships will be reviewed on an ongoing basis in line with government advice.
On the GAA front, Nathan, is there a feeling that if we get back into the real world, maybe September, that we'll just have a good old-fashioned one-and-done knockout championship for old times' sakes?
Funny, I was talking to someone about this today and they were making the point that what happens over the final 6 months of the year could force the GEA into a more long-term revamp if it was to work well in a whole load of ways. So we're going to have a condensed inter-county season. Does that mean that actually there's a greater separation for players between club and county? Do we have, as you say, a sort of more straightforward knockout competition that works? We get rid of the provincial championships. I think there's a whole host of different possibilities that are there, depending on how much time they have. Hey, how long would it take, realistically, best case scenario of 32 teams, straight knockout week after week after week, and you know what, you run it off in 6 weeks?
Give or take, yeah, I'm sure it's doable.
John Fogarty was tweeting earlier on. He put an open article on the Irish Examiner saying that they're likely to announce what they're going to do in the next 24 hours. He says the league is more than likely going to be scrapped. And you would imagine that if they were to go with this 32-team one-and-done championship, especially with football, it would prove remarkably popular, perhaps not with management, etc., but with the attending fans. And as a spectacle on TV, it said this would be amazing stuff.
It would be. It would be. I mean, it's not what we'll go back to, because it's not fair on players and managers and all those people who put so much time in. But as a spectacle, to get us through a couple of months as we get back to normality, it would be just amazing to get back to knockout matches.
Right now, Joe, we're getting excited about fishing. So, any GEA championship, I think we're going to be excited by it.
How do you talk about fishing on the radio? Like, what would I say? How would we analyse the weekend's fishing?
Bit windy out.
Oh, you'd be getting into the minutiae of people's flies and their bait and all that kind of stuff.
Would, yeah. The Sky Sports.
What kind of make rod?
Sky Sports used to show a lot of fishing.
They did, yeah.
Up until not that long ago.
I think it still might be there somewhere.
I think so as well, yeah. Anyway, the US Open still hopeful?
Yeah, the USGA still hopeful of staging this year's US Open at Wingfoot in June. The New York course is currently closed following a directive from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. USPGA, the Masters and the Open have all been postponed due to the pandemic, leaving the US Open as the last major standing. Preparations were believed to have been ongoing up until last week's decision by Governor Cuomo. The tournament is due to get underway on June the 18th.
The US Open has been a mess for about a decade at this stage, so, well, it'd just be in keeping with the way it's been run in recent times that they try and push this as far as possible.
Yeah, they say they're kind of hanging on in disbelief in fantasy, more to the point, a little bit. The Bundesliga, meanwhile?
Yeah, the DFL have suspended the Bundesliga and Bundesliga 2 until April 30th at the earliest. Following a lengthy meeting today, officials say they're still committed to ending the season by June 30th and they may play games behind closed doors to do so. Meanwhile, both Borussia Dortmund and Bayern Munich have agreed, their players that is, to 20% wage cuts in the crisis to help keep other jobs at their respective clubs.
And then Birmingham?
Yeah, it's understood that Birmingham City have become the first championship club to ask their players to take wage deferrals during the coronavirus pandemic. Squad members earning more than £6,000 a week at St Andrews have been asked to take a 50% deduction in their salary for the next 4 months. The money will be paid back in stages when the season restarts, with English football postponed, as we know, until April the 30th also at the earliest.
Very good. Fellas, a bit shorter and sweeter this evening on the news round. We're making some time for Tom Parsons. Nathan, that number again for kids to ask Brian O'Driscoll a question?
087-9180-180. So just WhatsApp your video, get them to introduce themselves, and as you say, ask him absolutely anything. It's all up on offtheball.com. You can get all the details.
And is the format of this that he will sit there and then just be hit with the videos of the kids?
Yes, essentially. He'll be sitting at home on his Skype line and we're just going to go video after video and wear him down.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Okay, Nathan Murphy, thank you. Richie McCormack, thanks.
Cheers.
Take it easy. We've got Paul Rouse after 8 o'clock. Tom Parsons with us next.
Well, after a wait since 1940, we have Limerick, the All-Ireland champions, the worthy All-Ireland champions.
They've been through a lot over the last 40 years, in a sporting capacity and maybe even in a social capacity.
They were looking down and out, but they've come back to win by 6 points. Offaly 3-16, Limerick 2 goals and 13 points. What a comeback. Limerick just somehow hadn't it in them today, and it's Wexford a win by 2 points. Limerick did their level best, but it wasn't to be. Kilkenny had a wonderful start.
The 19th of August 2018, who will be All-Ireland champions? Who will see their dreams turn into reality? Whose names will be etched in history forever?
A green wave just sweeping down towards Hill 16 now. They're attacking from all angles. Kyle Hayes again. He's got the run of the place. He's making himself at home. Picked up by McInerney. He's had his pocket picked by Morrissey. He's in. He's going. Oh, what a
I thought we were home and hosed, and credit to Galway, they came back into it and thundered into it. Joe Canning really led the way there, you know, but...
Canning, what a goal! 27 goals for Joe Canning, and this one is worth its weight in gold.
Just the last couple of minutes, the last 8 or 9 minutes was just the worst ever, like from 70 on, I thought it would never end, and they were coming and coming, and they nearly caught us, you know.
Between his own 45 and 65, it's going to drop short, but where will it fall? It's in a Limerick hand. It's taken clear. It's all over! Limerick have done it. Limerick have won it. And they get the fairy tale finish after 45 years.
The Off the Ball podcast on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.